Welcome to Nova's Here. My name is Greg Horn, and love sharing with about teachers of God's Word that have helped inspire me and helped me grow in my personal relationship with Jesus. And one of those has been Gary Wilkerson. Some of you may know his dad, David Wilkerson, Times Square Church in New York City, and he's no longer with us, but Gary did take over his newsletter that he sent out that I've been getting probably for close to 20 years now, and it's called World Challenge. And he recently sent a newsletter out called Reaching Unimaginable Destinations. God has one in mind for you. And if I'm honest, sometimes when I get discouraged, I'm sure like many of you listening, that I wonder, does God really have a special destination for me, a special thing for me here? And Gary really addresses this in this newsletter that he had last month. And he says that the Bible we read is a book of hope. The hope it gives us is not moderate, average, or normal. It doesn't inspire us toward the status quo to merely survive and get by. The hope of God's Word is expressed in powerful promises that lead to unimaginable results from God's very own hand. That hope leads us to destinations far beyond our wildest expectations. As you study the amazing hope promised in God's Word, the Bible, God's heart for His people becomes very clear. The Bible promises a hope of salvation, a healing from suffering, of deliverance through trials. It promises a hope of overcoming opposition, conquering sin, defeating insurmountable foes. It promises a hope that will conquer, peace will reign, joy will overflow, and the desires of our heart will be fulfilled. And so, friends, I just want to encourage you today, just make sure you're spending time reading God's Word. I really encourage you to start in the mornings doing that, but I know some people aren't a morning person, but I tell you, I would not delay, because when you put God's Word in your heart and your mind, it just helps you find hope for each day. Wilkerson goes on to say that the Bible is full of people who saw all these types of hopes that we just shared come to pass. The hope of Israel's freedom drove Moses to demand, "Let my people go." The hope of Israel's future drove Joshua to shout on the cusp of the promised land, "Let us possess what God has put before us." The hope of a house built for God drove David to dream of the temple in Jerusalem. Years later, that same hope drove Nehemiah to rebuild the temple after the city was reduced to mere rubble. Not everyone will share the hope and dreams that God puts in us. When Nehemiah called for the temple to be rebuilt, the people objected, "It isn't time yet. We haven't even built the city walls." However, God told them, "Don't say it isn't time. The destination I have for you may seem unimaginable, but you will see it fulfilled in my power." And for some of you today, the reason that maybe you're so weary and weak and discouraged, maybe depressed, is because you've been trying to do things in your power. And I confess to you today that I've been guilty of that many times throughout my 30 plus years of being a follower of Jesus, that sometimes I try to do it on Greg Horn's strength and not on God's strength and the Holy Spirit's power. And maybe today that's a word that you need to hear. The reason maybe you've lost hope is because you're trying to do things in your power and not through God's power and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Wilkerson goes on to say, why does God fill us with hope to see dreams fulfilled? Well, it's because He wants a people who will say, there is more to possess. There is more godly authority for us to take hold of, more healing to bring to the broken, more hopeless people to be saved, and more shattered families to be restored, more impoverished people to be lifted from despair, and more prejudiced hearts to know reconciliation. Isn't that encouraging to know that today? In short, God fills us with hope and a driving faith to see His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I love that in the Lord's Prayer, it talks about, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And maybe that needs to be your prayer today. Simply, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wilkerson goes on to say that God's people should never reduce his greatness to mere moderation. The world has great, imaginable destinations. John F. Kennedy, when president, imagined putting someone on the moon and by the end of the 1960s. Martin Luther King Jr. imagined children of different races holding hands and growing up at peace. How much more should we expect Jesus to lead us to unimaginable destinations? I've got to ask you, how did our knowledge of God's wild-hearted greatness lead us to measured lives of moderation? How did the Bible become reduced to a mere rule book, a moral guideline, a spiritual to-do list? When did God's fiery words get watered down into self-focused religious obligations? Well, it happens whenever a Christian settles saying, "I don't want to ask Jesus for too much, I just want to stay secure." The prophet Isaiah, he described how much more there is for those who love the Lord. In chapter 58, the prophet Isaiah says, "Godly people dream great things, not just for themselves, but for the needy." He speaks of godly people standing up for the lost and serving the outcast. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending to the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourself with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No, this kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned, lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Ouch. Boy, that kind of stings a little bit, doesn't it? Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Friends, if you've been blessed today, I want to remind you that you are blessed to be a blessing. Isaiah goes on to say in verses 8 and 9, "Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will be quickly healed. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, 'Yes, I am here.' The Lord will quickly reply." Isn't that a beautiful vision of God's glory manifesting through his people, and what a powerful corrective to our concept of how to serve God? God is calling forth a flame-breathing, faith-inducing, demon-defeating, hope-filling, evil-conquering, love-spreading people. The destinations that God lays out for us may be unimaginable to the world, but they cannot be to those who take on his name. Friends, there is power in the name of Jesus. Say it with me. There is power in the name of Jesus. That's where your strength goes. That's where your authority comes from. Your strength comes from the name of Jesus. Wilkerson goes on to say, "Are you living?" and asks this great question. Are you living the sweet life promised in God's word? I want to ask you that again. Are you living the sweet life promised in God's word? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 19 says, "A desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul." Psalm verse 20, chapter 20, verse 4 says, "May God grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans." Many of us don't live the sweet life, Wilkerson says, that's been evoked in those verses that I just read. Do you wake up eager to see God fulfill the great plans that he has for you? Now, you may be thinking today, "Well, I really don't have plans, Greg. I just kind of follow God's leading." The psalmist here suggests you should have plans because God wants to fulfill them, and it's actually a sign of loving passion to have plans. I want to remind you, when Valentine's Day approaches, we just don't sit back hoping a dinner will mysteriously prepare itself, do we? Or that flowers will just suddenly appear? We make plans because we have a passionate desire for our loved one. Same way with God with us. There's a basic problem for a lot of Christians. They're missing desire. They think things like passion and dreams are flesh-centered, not God-centered. What they don't realize is there are consequences to not having a passionate vision. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. That's from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Without vision, the people shall perish. So what a consequence. Those who lack a passionate vision end up letting all restraints go. If you're purposeless with no direction for your life, you have no need of discipline. You don't work toward anything. Your energy isn't spent toward a dream. In that case, what's the point of anything? All those buff people that you see at the gym, they didn't just stumble upon their physiques. They don't spend their days eating buttercream cupcakes. They have faith that every mile they pedal on the stationary bike is leading to a powerful, healthy body that will serve them well over their lifetime. And, you know, I have to admit, that's an area I've struggled with, and I've shared that with our listeners, of eating not healthy and not exercising, and yet God's been working on me last year in 2019 and 2020, and I take two steps forward and one backwards, but you know what? I'm still one step forward, and I want to encourage you to do that today, too, to keep on pressing forward, because the consequences that we're speaking of, They can be very positive. Your passionate vision to see God's glory in your life isn't just some ideal. It leads to very real results, to things of substance. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I want to share that one more time. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. A living faith brings life-giving results. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 37 says, "Thus says the Lord of God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them, to increase their people like a flock." As our faith increases, so do the results that God brings in our lives. I want to ask you a question. Do you still believe that your dream of God's greatness in your life is self-centered? If so, how can you expect to have the sweet life that God promised? Jesus doesn't tell us not to aspire to greatness. In fact, he shows us how to achieve it. Mark chapter 9, verse 35 says, Jesus sat down, he called the 12 disciples over to him and said, "Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else." So really, God made it very simple for us. He said, you want greatness? Serve others. When your dream, your ambition, your goal was fulfilled, it will be a blessing to many. Wilkerson shared, in my travels around the world, he said, encouraging pastors, "I've met a lot of godly men and women who know what true greatness is." He said, "I know an African man who led by God to start a church in the Ukraine. On paper, his dream didn't have a lot going for it. He didn't know anyone in Ukraine. If he wanted to start a culturally sensitive church for Africans, he wasn't going to find many in a former Soviet satellite country. But this gentleman, this pastor, had a dream, though, and he gave up everything to pursue it. He gained a hearing with a group of Ukrainian pastors and told them his vision. He wanted to start a church for people who didn't know Jesus. Those godly pastors didn't think he was crazy. They were humbled by his dream, and they decided to support him. 5 years after this, the man opened a church in Kiev. 5,000 people now call it home. Almost every one of those people came to Christ at the altar of that church. Some were delivered from alcohol addictions. The homeless got on their feet again. Street orphans were taken in and cared for. People abused or neglected by the government found hope and love in a Savior who cares about their humblest needs and their dreams for a future. This African pastor was not the right man. He was not in the right place, and he had no qualifications to do the things he imagined. His destination was unimaginable to most people, but his faith brought about the substance of that dream. Now Jesus is receiving glory on the streets where despair ruled just a few years before. So I want to ask you again, are you running from godly dreams and desires that God has put in you? Do you long to see his glory in your life? Ask Jesus today to lead you step by step into the destination he has for you. It will be unimaginable, and the world will never be the same. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.